My kids are growing up really fast. I don't know if you've seen any of them lately. Maybe you haven't seen them for a while, but basically Luca's my height and Sophia is not far behind. And I remember a few years ago, it actually was a number of years ago, when we first moved to Kelowna, I was getting ready to go out of town on a work trip. And as I was getting ready for these 3 days away, I got everything prepared like you would do if you're going away for a trip. I cleared my schedule with work. I packed my clothes. I packed my toothbrush, my computer. I double-checked my rental car on the other end. And then on the way out the door, I kissed my wife, Gina. I kissed my daughter. And then I came to Luca, my four-year-old son. I knelt down and met him at eye level, and of course, I kissed him as well. But there was more that needed to be said to my hyperactive, full of life, lost in imagination, four-year-old boy. If you can imagine, he needed more direction than the other two. And so we had a moment, a father and son moment. Luca, I said, I love you. Listen to your mom. Be kind to your sister. Help your teachers and remember to swallow your food. You know, the important stuff that you have to tell a four-year-old boy. I wanted to prepare Luca for the days of my absence. Luca, I am going away, so listen, here's what I want you to know. Our parting words, they express what is most important to us, don't they? They express our values and our aspirations. I mean, think about some of the parting words that you have shared to people in your own life when you go away on a trip or after you say goodbye to family you have visited. Our parting words express what is most important to us. And that is why, that's what makes Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 28 so important to all of us here today. They are Jesus' parting words to his disciples. Before the resurrected Jesus ascended to the right hand of God the Father, he attends to his disciples one last time with these parting words, the very last words that we read in Matthew's gospel in Matthew 28. Jesus is preparing disciples for life without his physical embodied presence. Jesus turns to his disciples and he says, my dear children, I am going away. And so listen, here is what I want you to know. So hear the word of the Lord in Matthew 28, verse 16 to 20. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, Jesus, they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Jesus, this morning again, as we sit under your word, we pray that you would bring us to life. Lord, as we consider what it means to be your disciples this morning, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you'd be working in the hearts and minds of people in a way that words can't, that certainly I can't, but only the Spirit of life can. So make us attentive, Lord Jesus, to all that you have to say this morning to us directly, personally, we pray in your name. Amen. Matthew 28, at the very end, in these verses, Matthew 28 is Jesus' word to disciples about disciples. And now, for the past 9 months, actually a long time, we've been considering what it means to be a disciple. It's been the focus of everything that we've spoken about on Sunday mornings. I don't know if you've caught that, but it's been 9 months of talking about being a disciple. Back in September, when we kicked off, I began with a single goal: to help you take practical steps to follow Jesus alongside other people this year. That was the goal. And so first, we looked at the myriad of people that Jesus invites to follow him in the Bible. And what we saw was that Jesus wants all of us. He wants the good and the bad. He wants the successful and the failures. He wants all of us. He invites everyone to follow him into the abundant life in his kingdom. And then we began to look at what it actually means tangibly to be a disciple. Namely, the three things that disciples, every disciple, does. Disciples walk with Jesus, they become like Jesus, and they join what Jesus is doing in the world. And we drilled into each of those things, looking at what that means and what it looks like. And so, I think it's fitting that on our last sermon in this series of the year, we turn to the parting words that the risen Jesus speaks, not only to the disciples that day, but to all of us disciples. My dear children, I'm going away, so listen. Here is what I really want you to know. And Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. And now, you have probably heard this passage many times before if you've grown up in the church. And certainly when you do, there are certain things that come to your mind, isn't there? You hear it and you think it's a call to become a missionary. And certainly there is truth to that, but for just a moment, I want you to try and put that out of your mind and consider another angle of what Jesus is actually saying here. Because remember, this is Jesus' word to disciples about disciples. It isn't Jesus' word to missionaries about missionaries. It isn't Jesus' word to pastors about pastors. It's his word to every disciple. Every person who has said, yes, Jesus, you are Lord. Every person who says, yes, Jesus, I will follow you. It's his word to us. This is Jesus' word to you, his disciple. And it's his word about you, his disciple. And he says to all of us, go and make disciples. Now, I'm going to come back to this verse in just a little later, but for now, I simply want you to hear this. In Jesus' parting words, he does not say to you and me, go and make churches. Jesus does not say, go and sing your favorite songs and listen to your favorite preachers. Jesus does not say, go and make a comfortable and convenient Sunday morning routine for yourselves. Jesus says, go and make disciples. What seems to me to be at the heart of Jesus' deepest desire for all of us in his parting words to the disciples is discipleship. And when we drill into his words here, what we'll see is that he points to these very practical things. He actually points to every practical thing that we need to know about what it means to follow Christ, to be his disciple. Specifically, Jesus tells us what being a disciple looks like. Namely, we can see in the text, and I'm going to show you this, he points to the three things we've been teaching you all year. The disciples are people who walk with Jesus, become like Jesus, and join what Jesus is doing. Look with me at the text. Verse 20. Jesus says to his disciples that day, even though I'm going away, even though I'm not going to be physically present, he says, I am with you always to the very end of the age. What is Jesus saying here? He's saying that through the Holy Spirit, Jesus will walk every step of the discipleship journey with us. To be a follower of Jesus is to be someone who is learning to walk with and keep in step with his Holy Spirit. In short, disciples walk with Jesus because he is present to us. Mark this, church. The discipled life is not about living for Jesus. It's about living with Jesus. And there is a difference. Walking with Jesus is when we find these rhythms that keep us attentive to his promise, the one he speaks here, because Jesus promises that he will be with us to the very end of the age. And disciples run in these tracks that keep us alive to his presence. We run in these tracks that keep us attentive to hearing his voice in our life. Tracks like prayer and Sabbath, worship, and reading the Bible. And I wonder how you've grown in this area of walking with Jesus over these past 9 months as we've been inviting you to walk with Christ. Disciples walk with Jesus. Or his parting words to us. And second, Jesus tells us that disciples are people who become like him in the world. It's inherent in his instructions when Jesus speaks about teaching them to obey everything he has commanded us. A disciple is someone who slowly, step by step, learns to be more like the one they follow. They learn to walk in his ways by obeying his voice. That's what the text says. We don't like that word, do we? Obey. It's a trigger word for many of us. We don't like it because we have this messed up relationship with power. Obey sounds oppressive because we're used to people and institutions that abuse their power. But when obedience is called forth from the God of love, when obedience is called forth from the God who uses power to bless and empower others, then obedience actually becomes the fruit of love. I mean, Jesus says, "If you love me, you will keep my commands." You see, there is a link between love and obedience. Obedience to God is born out of a love for God. And that same obedience goes on to generate more love in the world around us. Because isn't that what Jesus' commandments are? To love God and love others, even love our enemies? A disciple's obedience to God is born out a love for him, and it produces a love for others. And here in Matthew 28, Jesus tells us that disciples are people who are learning to obey his commands and to become more like him, to become a force of love and grace in a world of hate and revenge. Disciples become like Jesus. And third, Jesus tells us that disciples join in what he is doing. What is Jesus doing? What is Jesus always doing? He's always inviting people to experience life in his kingdom, life with him, life the way he meant it to be, a life of love and joy and peace in partnership with the God of love and joy and peace. In other words, the one thing Jesus is always doing is inviting people to follow him, to be his disciples. You see, the whole journey of following Jesus is learning to live his way of life, the kingdom life. It's the journey of discipleship. So, when Jesus tells us to go and make disciples here in Matthew 28, he's asking us to join him in leading other people into the disciple life, into life in the kingdom, life with Jesus. disciples join Jesus in what he is doing. And now, the verb in Matthew 28, verse 19, the verb is make disciples, not go. In the original language, the emphasized action in Jesus' great commission here isn't to go somewhere, but rather it is to do something, to make disciples. Jesus is saying, make disciples as you go. No matter where you go, make disciples. As they go, disciples invite others into the love of God found in Jesus Christ. As they go, no matter where they go, disciples invite people to turn away from sin and instead walk with the Spirit. As they go, disciples teach others to live into the life of God's kingdom, to follow Jesus. As they go, disciples teach others how to pray and forgive and make peace in the name of Christ. Disciples make disciples. And I wonder, as we consider these parting words of Jesus, I wonder if there's something here specifically for you to apply to your life today, something to take home and chew on and reorder your life around. And let me ask you, as a disciple of Jesus, who are you discipling? Who are you walking alongside and praying with? Not simply for, but with. Who are you teaching the way of Jesus to? Who are you training up? Who are you pouring into? Who are you discipling? The Apostle Paul said to the people in Corinth, "Follow me as I follow Christ." It's the mantra of the disciple making disciple. Follow me as I follow Christ. And I wonder, are there people in your life that you can say these words to? A friend? A youth? A child in your home or a child in our children's ministry? A grandchild? A new Christian that you've led to the Lord? Or someone that you're leading toward Jesus? Someone struggling with addiction? Someone at your work? Someone you met in the foyer after the service? If disciples make disciples, then the question is, who are you discipling? And you might be thinking, but I'm not ready to disciple others. I still have so much to learn. I mean, that's the obvious thing. I'm in no place to disciple others. I don't have my life together. But I want you to know that that is the same thing that every single one of those first disciples who heard Jesus' words that day was thinking. They thought it too. But remember what Jesus said to the biggest failure of them all in that group that day? You remember what he said to Peter? He said, "Peter, feed my sheep." And he says the same to you. Disciples of Jesus, they make disciples of Jesus. And there's one more thing that I want you to hear in Jesus' word to disciples about disciples today. Something foundational. It's something that absolutely cannot be missed. Jesus makes one thing clear in this passage, in his parting words. He makes it clear that disciples actually need to make a decision to go all in. There is no half-hearted discipleship. Do you hear it in the text? Jesus says, make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Baptizing is the key word here. In Greek, it is the word baptizo. And it was the word that was used to describe the process for dyeing fabrics in the first century. And so you can think in your mind of this dull beige loom of wool and it being submerged into a great vat of purple dye. You can just picture it, being baptized in the water, submerged in the dye. The fabric was baptized, and it comes out something entirely new. Something changed, something different. And such is the journey for every person who decides to follow Christ. They decide to walk into the waters of baptism as this sign, as this mark of the most important decision they could ever make, a decision to go all in, a decision to follow Christ and be made new. And in the New Testament, usually a baptism would begin on one side, one bank of a river or body of water, and end on the other. And it was this idea that they cross through the waters and come to a new destination, a new identity in Christ. And every disciple makes a decision whether they're all in or whether they're not a disciple. And I remember when I made the decision to be a disciple of Jesus. I was 21 years old. And I was going to university in Vancouver at the time, at Simon Fraser. And I had been a Christian for a long time before that point. I'd even been baptized as a baby. But that day as a young adult was something altogether different for me. It marked my decision to go all in for Jesus. And the weeks before, it was actually the very week before I got baptized, I was leading a small group of grade 8 skateboard punks. These kids were punks. Oh, and I loved them. They were awesome. They got a kick out of me. They never got a kickflip out of me, but they got a kick out of me. That's for Tim Goward. I know you know your skateboard terminology up there, Tim. And so I was leading this bunch of grade 8 kids in youth group, and I gave them this object lesson to help them understand the decision that I was making in being baptized. I went out and I bought a whole bunch of baby food jars, and I carefully pulled off the label on each of the jars that were marked summer strawberry, a delicious flavor. And I pasted them on the jars of baby food that were called split pea and asparagus. A real incognito move. I actually don't remember the flavor of the awful baby food, but it was an awful flavor. I remember that. And so I handed around these jars to the boys and asked them all to eat them at the same time. And the funny thing about grade 8 boys is they're really excited to eat baby food, which maybe shouldn't come as a surprise because they're excited to eat any food. As I know, I have one now in my household. But they especially liked the flavor that I chose. Summer strawberry. And so on the count of three, we all took a bite and they all spat it across the room at the same time. And then I said, "For a long time, I have been living with the label of Christian on the outside, simply going to church. But I am choosing to get baptized because I want what's inside to match the label on the front. And I want Jesus to be Lord and leader in every part of my life." And that's what baptism is about. It's about a person deciding to be a disciple of Jesus, not simply someone who attends a service and sits in a pew. It's about a person's decision to follow Christ, not simply following the religion of our parents or our heritage, but going all in, saying, "This is mine. I belong to Jesus." It's this outward sign that says, "I'm going all in. I'm ready to stand and be counted with Him. I belong to Him. I follow Him." It's a physical symbol that points to a greater reality. And for some people, that might sound strange, like we stand in this pool of water and that we're baptized in this public setting in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But the truth of the matter is we often have these tangible, physical symbols that point to a greater reality in life. Right? Some of you could reach into your wallet right now and you could pull out a Costco card that says, "I belong to the club." It's a physical thing that points to something beyond itself. Some of you maybe wear a sports jersey and it says, "I belong to the team." I have a wedding ring that says, "I belong to my wife, Gina." All of these are physical things that point to a greater reality. And baptism is the physical step that says, "I have decided I belong to Christ." And friends, there comes a time in our lives when we all need to make an important choice. Will I be a follower of Jesus or simply a fan of Jesus? Will I be a disciple or will I be something less than? And some of you students, you're going off to high school, or maybe some of you are going off to university at the end of the summer, and you will be faced with a decision. Will I follow Jesus as Lord, or will I follow the crowd? Some of you will go to work this year and be faced with the decision. Will I follow Jesus, or will I follow the money? Some of you will meet a new and exciting person in your life, and you'll be faced with the decision. Will I follow Jesus as Lord, or will I follow wherever the attraction leads? You see, there are times when we need to make a decision. And disciples decide to follow Christ. They decide to stand up and be counted with Him, to go all in. And we mark that decision by getting baptized. And so I wonder what the step is for you today. As we come to this last message in our year-long series on discipleship, as you hear Jesus' parting words to disciples about disciples, perhaps it's time for you to stand up and be counted, to go all in, and to be baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Is that true for you today? Is Jesus lovingly inviting you to take that step in your life with Him? To be baptized as a disciple of Christ? And if it is, if you know in your heart it's time to be baptized, time to be baptized at a point where you get to choose to be baptized, I wonder if you would have courage to come and tell me after the service. Or, in just a moment, when we receive communion together, would you have the courage to take out your phone and send a text message to the number that's on the screen, simply saying your name and that you want to be baptized? It's a step that Jesus is inviting you into. Or maybe for you, maybe you've been baptized already, but it's time to recommit your life to following Christ, to commit to being a disciple. And if this describes you, as you come forward to receive communion, I invite you to come forward with this commitment, this recommitment on your heart. And I also invite you, why don't you send a text to the number as well, simply saying, hey, I want to recommit my life to Jesus, to following Jesus today, to be His disciple. Or maybe there are others of you, and perhaps Jesus is stirring in you to be the kind of disciple that goes out and makes disciples, that you're ready to commit yourself to helping others follow Jesus. And if this is you, why don't you take time this week to pray and to ask God who He wants you to be intentional with? And why not? I'd like you to text the number as well and simply say, I want to be a person who makes disciples, as a way of taking action, of showing your choice. And we'll follow up with you to help you take some steps ahead, and we can be praying for you. Jesus is inviting you into a whole new life, a deeper life with Him, a life of being His disciple. Will you give Him your yes today?